On Saturday night, around 10 p.m, New South Wales police began to pursue a speeding car. They followed that car over the New South Wales border into the ACT. The car ran a red light. The police stopped their pursuit. The speeding car then ran into a Mazda, killing a father, mother, and their four-month-old baby. The driver of the speeding car also died. David Burney from the Australian Council for Civil Liberties says these deaths were avoidable.
It would be different if they're actually police involved in chasing somebody who is in themselves a danger to the public, like an armed criminal, armed dangerous criminal. But simply to chase cars because they're being stolen or they've been in some other come under notice for some other traffic offence, I think is taking it too far and balancing things when it can unfortunately lead to the sort of tragedy that we saw on the weekend and we have seen previously in New South Wales.
So when we're talking about dangerous driving and stolen vehicles, what are the alternatives for police? Murray Lee is the director of the Sydney Institute of Criminology at Sydney University.
One such alternative would be, of course, to be able to record the licence, the registration number of the car and try and track down the offender through that means. The problem for policing there is that nearly 50% of cars that are engaged in high-speed pursuits end up being stolen vehicles. And so that is not going to be really a very efficient means of tracking down those offenders given that the vehicles are stolen. Another alternative would be to use some form of GPS tracking and have this built into cars. And, I guess the chances are that this sort of technology will eventually be everywhere in any case. But, of course, there are questions about people's civil liberties and police being able to track cars in that manner and know where people are at all times. So there are a range of questions about using that technology as well.
Since 2004, police pursuits have been falling. David Sewell is a researcher at the Centre for Accident Research and Road Safety at the Queensland University of Technology. He says that you have to consider who the main offenders are before you can determine how to change their behaviour.
Well, we've got two types of offenders. You've got your general population of speeders who tend to think that speeding within 10 kilometres of the speed limit isn't really a dangerous act, and I think the majority of the population is guilty of that behaviour. But when we're looking at excessive speeders and recidivist speeders, those repeat offenders, then there's definitely a cohort that comes to mind. It's the young males, typically with crash histories and other infringements, and also they're usually higher in sensation-seeking and risk-taking and that sort of thing.
So currently, at this point in time, how effective are police pursuits in stopping excessive speeding?
Well, I think the one thing to really understand is that rarely are police pursuits engaged in to stop speeding. I mean, I think in most states the policy is that a pursuit is restricted to those people who have a criminal record already. So it's rarely we see a speeding driver and we just take off after it. It's a more serious offender that gets pursued, and in that sense, we do need police pursuits to, like I said, not motivate offenders to just take off when they see a police car.